Chew It With the Pruitts, episode 13. I Ain't No Paula Batgirl. Hey, I'm Kenny.
And I'm Holly.
And this is Chew It With the Pruitts.
We are here for episode 13. This is the final installment of our conversation with Mrs. Paula Hoffman.
Yeah, it went so long, she got her own trilogy.
I hope one day to have my own trilogy.
I mean, you've been on all 13 episodes.
Lucky me.
We're going to jump right into the conversation with her because we go for a good hour.
Yeah, sorry folks, this is going to be a long one.
But we covered the topic of television reboots and revivals.
Enjoy.
So we still have one segment left to get to. We saved potentially the best for last.
This has to be the best.
So
this is my passion in life.
We're going to move on to some View It.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We've done a couple, or we've done a View It in the past.
No, we've done two.
We've done two View Its. We did Inception and Creed. And now we're kind of moving over to what my passion is, which is television.
Yes, you're much more into TV than
I don't know. I don't feel weird. I've felt weird in the past talking about it as like a passion because I don't know, I feel like some people think of it as like a time waster, but TV is definitely something that I am very passionate about, that I enjoy. I don't necessarily watch all the new series, or we have a friend who, you know, loves movies, has a movie podcast, Kevin Zade at The Zade Story, and I would say like he will watch, I feel like he watches just kind of any movie just to like, even if he doesn't necessarily think it's going to be a good movie, just to kind of get the experience. And really, I don't know, that's kind of what I've gotten from the way that he talks about movies. And so for me, I don't necessarily watch every TV show. I feel like also TV shows are much bigger commitment because there's, you know, more than one episode, it's more than one series. So, you know, TV shows are a bigger commitment. And so I don't necessarily watch like all the new shows that are out. I also have two young kids. It's really difficult. But I have several shows that I just am, that I love. I mean, going back 40 years even, which are not even that old, but that I still pull out now and just love. I think The Golden Girls is probably, that's one from 30 years ago or so. And that one is a huge favorite of mine. I own the whole series on DVD. But I think that what the new fad is...
You might have already discussed like a... if we're widowed retirees, plan of moving in together.
Yes. Because this is the dream, guys. Golden Girls is the dream.
And eating cheesecake late at night.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I kind of already do stuff like that, like eating chocolate chips and ice cream. But I think what we've all been seeing now, this new fad of revivals, of TV revivals, and some I can be really excited about, and some I just roll my eyes at, and so I just,
like,
I don't
if
know.
They tried to do a Golden Girls revival, no.
Well, they did a sequel to Golden Girls.
Well, they did,
Girls.
They had a spinoff, what The Golden Palace.
And it was everyone except for, like, Betty White, right?
B. Arthur.
Oh, so everyone
sorry, I shook my there. Head and said, and to say heard no, it was B. Arthur. They only did one season, I believe. But I don't know, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, was this revival culture that we have now, and it just seems like there are certain shows where I feel like it is warranted. One that Paula and I are very excited about is Gilmore Girls, and we can go a little bit deeper into that in a couple minutes, but it's kind of strange what's happening in this industry that, like, there's no original thought anymore. And I feel like some of the shows that are, which we'll also kind of go into, like the original thoughts that are, the original ideas that are out there, just don't even last. So like, what does that say about our culture in general?
What it would say about culture, I guess, is that we get comfortable and attached to what we like, and we think that we want more of it, right? So I feel like TV producers are just capitalizing on what people want, what they're already comfortable with, what they already like, and what they say, because I'm sure that it's out there in, you know, the fan sphere that they want more of it. And that they should, you know, they're calling for a reboot. They're calling for a revival.
Yeah.
And I would say it's just a be careful what you wish for scenario in a lot of cases to me.
Well, and yeah, I just, I don't know. Cause there are certain,
depending on
it's definitely a case by case basis. And I just think of shows that I love. And so we'll go back to the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Like, I love the Golden Girls and I can watch it over and over again. You know, obviously, you know, they couldn't do it now just because, you know, 3/4 of the cast has passed away, but the series ended, you know, it concluded.
Right.
It was not something that was left open-ended. It had a very good conclusion. It ran for 7 seasons. It had a great run. And so I don't know if, you know, 10 years ago I would have been excited to know that they were going to try to do it again, because what's the point? I love the show, but I don't, you know, and so kind of what I've been feeling like with Fuller House. It's like the show ended, you know, it had a good run and they ended the series.
Yeah.
So, and I will say I've only watched like the first 20 minutes of the first episode.
Which is super corny.
Right. Which, you know, yeah, like, and which I expected it to be.
Season of Fuller House already.
So, and is it some, have they ordered more? Are they doing more?
I think so.
Yeah, they announced like the day it was released that they were like, they're going to do a season.
I need to watch it.
I want to see the next season.
Okay.
I like it.
I mean, and I guess with
I
Fuller House,
like
it's
the
a
best show.
With
that's
Fuller
ever
House,
been
it's
made.
A revival, but it's also more of a spinoff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with you fall in love with a character, and so it's easier to make a show that has a lot of backstory because you already have a lot of people that are going to be automatically invested in the characters. So whether it's a good show or not, it's just going to get more viewership than
it
normally would. So it can be a lesser quality show as long as the original content was really popular.
And as long as it connects on enough levels, you know?
Right.
Like, okay, so it's like revivals or spinoffs. They kind of have a similar thing to them that they're just trying to kind of play off of the fan base that's already there.
Right.
Like Joey off Friends flopped majorly.
Right. And but I think like of all the Friends, nobody wants to see him.
Nobody wants to just watch a show about Joey. Like if they had chosen, like I feel like if they had decided we're going to follow either Ross and Rachel or Chandler and Monica, that would have been the most likely. But if they had made a spinoff about the two of them starting a family, moving away, it probably would have been super successful.
Maybe. I'm not convinced that would definitely.
I'm definitely
be
not.
I think it
Monica
would have had
and Chandler fans.
It would have had more of a chance.
I'm not sure that any of them could. I feel like it would have had to be different. So like Frasier.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So off of Cheers.
Frasier is like one of the greatest shows ever.
But also,
but it was totally, it was a spin-off, but it was totally 100%
different.
And even, I will say, even the character of Frasier was not he was supposed to be the same person, but he just had a completely, he was a different person because of his environment than he was in Cheers.
Yes.
So like it was still, so yes, there was an investment, but I feel like it wasn't necessarily the most obvious choice of all of the characters on Cheers to do a spinoff of. And then also taking the character was just so evolved in, you know, in the series of Frasier than he was in Cheers, that it was just a totally...
Cheers was on
I also
for
feel like
how, like 10 seasons?
It was 11.
And
Frasier
was 11. Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, you're talking, they got 22 seasons of television.
Yeah, and I've watched them all within the last couple of years, and I could do it again?
Yeah, no.
If Cheers was on...
Especially, Cheers is one of those that you can watch, and then especially because it's 11 years, so much changes. You just start back over again. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Cheers.
I was just thinking, like, I actually think that I could be interested in a reboot of Cheers. Not that they're going to bring back old cast members, but like,
a brand new bar,
or somebody new owning the bar and a group of characters that are regulars at the bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe.
Well, there are just things that are, there's just classic like story formats, and mm-hmm. Cheers is just like a classic. Well, it really takes an element of a classic story format, because in most sitcoms there is a destination spot. So Friends has Central Perk. Mm-hmm. You have How I Met Your Mother has whatever,
McLaren's,
and like that's a really common thing. Even Boy Meets World had Chubbies. Like it's like there's
The Big Bang Theory has the Cheesecake Factory.
You know, it's really, yeah. Or honestly, I would say in the Big Bang Theory, it's actually
shop. Or no, the apartment.
No, I would say, no. I think as far as it's the cafeteria at their work.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
To like, agree.
There, the Big Bang Theory is several. That one's right.
Well, no, but I just mean like,
I was joking around because it's the weird fake Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, it looks nothing like the Cheesecake
Factory. And it took me a second to be like,
they wear random uniforms.
No, but. But every sitcom has sort of an eatery mm-hmm. that is their spot. Like, it's pretty common. And so it just happens to be in Cheers that...
It is.
That is what it's built. It's built around the eatery. There are scenes that take place outside of it. But actually the main function of it...
The ledge of the building. Yep.
The main function of it is...
Like Frasier and Rebecca almost do it.
Well, yeah, they're at... Well, anyway, I'm sorry, but this is not a Cheers podcast.
A Cheers reboot would make a lot of sense, just because that's a very classic sitcom element. So it would work.
And also because it's like... So much of it is just in the bar, like people kind of passing through and them reacting to it and little one-liners and stuff like that. Like, you could do that with different people, different characters that would be regulars at a bar.
And I actually feel like that there is something missing. I don't watch sitcoms in general. I don't watch them very much. The last sitcom that I did watch was How I Met Your Mother, and it went pretty downhill.
Oh my gosh.
And honestly, maybe one of the main reasons it went downhill the last season was because they didn't have McLaren's.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like
McLaren's represents is them all being together, which they never really were.
Yeah, and so like there's just a recipe for certain shows, and so the show that I actually thought should have come out upon ending of How I Met Your Mother was before there was ever an announcement of a reboot. Mm-hmm. Was they should have come out with Man Meets World,
mm-hmm.
and we had this conversation with some other friends that it would have been perfect to bring back all the original cast members. They're now like in their 30s, mm-hmm. and if you have like a Corey, a Topanga, a Sean, an Eric, and then like a couple girls, maybe Angela and Rachel, you could have like sort of that similar thing, but bring it more into like an adult comedy sitcom type show. But then they ended up doing Girl Meets World, which I just have zero interest in watching.
Right. Because it's a Disney Channel show for tweens. It's not for us. Whereas Fuller House, Fuller House like is more...
It was a show that was geared towards tweens and teenagers, but that was their
mistake with Girl Meets World, was like the people that care about Corey and Topanga
are in their 30s.
They're in their 20s, early 30s, you know, like right around there, versus like they don't want to watch a teen show. And so
we tried watching it. I haven't watched many Disney Channel shows, and other people said it got better. It was so bad. Like, the quality. The editing was just so bad. Like, and I'm not...
Yeah, the pilot was
There were weird cuts, and mm-hmm. it was just so bad that I honestly couldn't watch anymore. And I did... Yeah. I think we did watch... So we watched the pilot, and then the episode where Sean came back.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And they were bad. I mean...
So here's my reasons why I think... Like, some good choices that I think they made with Fuller House.
Okay.
Right? Is that I think it is, you know, consciously toward people who loved Full House.
Right.
Right.
Grown up. But it still maintains a lot of the same things from Full House without being a, like, exact carbon copy. I mean, it is in a lot of ways, but it's not like exact. Like, they have updated a couple of things, right? And it appealed to me as like now being a mom because, and like what I loved about it then in being that it's like she, you know, she is in need of like support, similar to the way that Danny Tanner had been. And, you know, Joey and Jesse stepped in, and then it's like, I feel like then it's almost like because Stephanie and Kimmy, you know, saw the way that, you know,
the example that they had been set the in example their had been
that they wanted to then do that for DJ.
Yeah. I agree.
And it's like a little bit touching.
We'll see.
I mean, and then they just like, it's not like a, it's not like fully adult, but it's like they upped the adultness a little bit, you know, with some of the humor and, you know, that they go drinking, you know, they get drunk in an episode and stuff like that.
They do regularly,
but I can still watch it with my kids.
That I think is really important. Like, if you're going to make, if you're going to bring back a character, like, I think that's the mistake for like Girl Meets World. Like, you're bringing back Cory and Topanga, but then you're not making the show geared towards the people that love Cory and Topanga.
And then the storyline, it was just, they weren't even real. It's like the Frasier element where they like evolved Frasier. Mm-hmm. They like devolved Topanga, who was supposed to be this
super smart,
super smart,
she was, like turned down successful. Yale,
yeah, turned down
got
Yale.
Got a huge like internship in New York. Yeah, that's the whole that's reason the they whole, moved to New York. And now then, she just like owns a yogurt shop.
Right. And now, and so I don't know. And so that
Cory
was a big mistake
to
me.
Is the teacher.
Yeah. So that was a mistake to me. I know, like, and so one, so two shows that Paula and I were big fans of that one has already been revived a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And one is shooting a revival now. So Arrested Development and Gilmore Girls. Now, Arrested Development was, every single season was canceled. And so they had three original seasons. Every single season was canceled and it was brought back. The subsequent season. There was no time in between. But because of that, there was no real definitive ending.
Yeah, or they didn't get to end it the way they wanted it.
And so then 10 years later, they came out with a season 4 on Netflix. And it was something that was super hyped. Everybody was excited. I mean, how can you not? I mean, Arrested Development is a great show. Like, it, also one of my favorites that I...
Well, it also, like, it had some pretty, like, relatively big names in it that, like, since doing Arrested Development have gone on, like... Michael Cera and Jason Bateman.
But Michael Cera was not a big name at the time.
Right. No, that's what I mean. So like, he's gone on to now, he's like really like much more popular than it was probably ever imagined
that he
would be.
So that was the flaw in
the revival.
In the revival was that because all of these people had become much, you know, much more successful, they were unable to even coordinate a shooting schedule that would accommodate a watchable show. I just, they were never,
I'm excited for more.
I didn't.
I'm pretty sure that
they are. But it's been taking this long because they're trying, because they're trying to remedy the issue, and that's why they do it right. Yeah, so they are. That's why it's been taking so long, is because they are trying to do it right. Because yeah, what's the best part is just the full family interacting, and you could just tell, you know, it just didn't click. Because there was so, they had limited time together that the, that chemistry just wasn't there because they hadn't had time to build it, you know, to
but
just spend time
what
together.
What I appreciated and what I want more of is the writing. Like,
yes.
It's the writing of that show that is the best part. And so, like, I can forgive other stuff because I get the writing. And, like, I just loved in that fourth season. I know a lot of people don't like the fourth season, the reboot. But I loved how things, like, came back around.
I like how things came back around. Now, as far as the writing within the storylines, I don't like the storylines at all. I honestly don't. I don't like any.
I can't really remember.
Well, Michael being a total loser and living with George Michael in his dorm.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay and Tobias separating and Tobias, like, being in rehab. And then
I'll just watch it again.
You know, anyway... I don't like any of the storylines themselves, but the writing within each storyline is still good. I mean, it's good writing. I just don't like the choices that they made for the characters because that's not, to me, those weren't the characters that were introduced to us 10 years ago. And so then the other one, yeah. Gilmore Girls. Now, this is one that did have a definitive ending. They did choose to they knew, or I guess the writers, the writers of the show in the last season ended the series. However, the writers of the show in the last season were not the original writers and the creators of the show for the first six seasons.
They slapped together an ending because they got canceled.
Yes, and they...
So it's like both of those things.
And the actors didn't know. I mean, they didn't know. The showrunners were who knew that it was being canceled. Mm-hmm. Nobody else on the crew, including the actors, knew that it was canceled until after the fact. When they wrapped season 7, they did not know that there was no season 8. The actors.
Really?
Have you not heard any of the Gilmore Gabs?
Yeah.
They all say, like, yeah, we didn't know. Oh. Like, we were ready to come back. Like, Scott Patterson, Sean Gunn, we were ready to come back for season 8.
Oh, maybe I didn't finish
that. Yeah. Anyway, what happened...
It's just that the emotion of Lorelai and Rory on the last episode, that I thought that it had to do with knowing.
Which is all... It's kind of silly because also, clearly that was the end of the show. I mean...
Yeah.
Once again, it was a slap-together ending. It didn't flow with any part of the series, honestly, yeah.
Makes it seem obvious.
Yeah, that... it was a clear, definitive ending. What happened was there was some contract negotiation issues after season 6 of Gilmore Girls, and the network decided, well, we're not gonna bring back the showrunners, so they hired all new writers for the show that had been on for 6 seasons, and they just basically destroyed, which you can say that they destroy. I mean, other people do, but a lot of the issues, the characters are making weird choices, I will mm-hmm. say, but a lot of the big issues that I have with the series took place in season 6 and just continued in season 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like the season finale of season 6.
Anyways.
So anyway, so all this to say, that is being revived now by Netflix, and with the original showrunners, Amy Sherman-Palladino and Daniel Palladino, and all the original actors, except Edward Herman, who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I hope that they do a good... I mean, it sounds like everybody was on board right away. It sounds like they're able... I mean, everybody's together. And doing, you know, and so I think that this is going to be really good. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Where and it's so, one of those that it's like the there were super fans mm-hmm. of the show, and they wanted an ending. They wanted to know what the original creator's vision was for the ending. I also feel like that's kind of true with Twin Peaks, mm-hmm. which is also getting revived, and I'm also excited about.
Yeah, and I know, so then Kenny, a show that you loved... That you kind of turned me on to.
There's a couple upcoming revivals that have been announced. They're reviving Prison Break, mm-hmm. and it's going to be the original cast. Now, Prison Break was one of those shows that it was a great first season. It was a great initial concept, but I feel like that whoever came up with the idea for Prison Break didn't think through, okay, where are these characters going to be in 5 seasons? Because the show's called Prison Break. And they break out of prison, spoiler alert, in the first season. So then you have a show called Prison Break where they've broken out of prison. And so it just, to me, wasn't thought through very well. And it got, like, from the first season that I actually really enjoyed and thought was really just interesting TV, to then the fourth season when it finally was canceled and ended, it just was a completely different type of show. And so I feel like that's something that I value in a TV show, is when you're watching something 3, 4, 5 seasons in, where it's like, okay, they either did a really good job figuring this out retroactively, or whoever came up with this show, like, they actually had a really good vision of, like, at least the general concept of where the show was going.
Where it's like Lost, right, partway in, and you're like, did they decide to name it this because they, you know, like or started even, on a journey and got completely lost or on even where they
something
were going.
Something as like How I Met Your Mother, where they say that they knew how the series was going to end, but they didn't know it was going to take 9 seasons to get there. And so they just really made up the last two.
Decided it was going to take that long to make more money.
Right. So they just stretched it out when there was no, so the last 2 to 3 seasons were just awful, and then you didn't want the series. Like when you finally got to the end of the series, like this is you don't want that. That's
you're
not what you
to
want.
Call
anymore.
CPS on this dad who's torturing his children with the longest story that's ever been.
But even it just didn't even make sense for the character anymore. Yeah. And so that's anyway. And so that's kind of where I can see your point. I've never seen Prison Break, but it is, and that's also a little bit similar to Gilmore Girls. But yeah, like where it just the decisions and the things that the characters are doing just don't even make sense for what this what characters you created.
Yeah, or
four
even
or five
just
years
like
ago.
The show that you started watching. It just has to be a completely different type of show, but it wasn't thought through to have it really make sense.
Right.
The other show that they've announced that they're making a pilot for, it hasn't been like picked up or anything, but Fox has ordered a pilot for a reboot of 24. And that is my favorite show of all time. So I do have some very strong opinions about it. And they've announced specifically that it will not have Kiefer Sutherland returning.
And that is a mistake to me. I have seen all of 24.
Now, I will give them credit. They're not stupid enough that they're going to reboot the series and still have a character named Jack Bauer that's just played by a different character, because that would never work. What they're doing is it's still set in the same universe. All the events of 24 have happened within this universe. So Jack Bauer's legacy will still likely have an effect on the world, but it's just a new main
character. The name is actually 24:Legacy.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. So I could see it done well, but I feel like in a show like this, or I feel like just in general right now, media, TV, movies are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that was actually, even though 24 is my favorite show, from season 1 to season 9, it, like, got so ridiculous where, like, now you have, you know, you're traveling all over the world where the first season it takes place entirely in Los Angeles.
Right.
Season 9, it's taking place in multiple different countries. It's in London and it's in, you know, America, and you have, like, people taking, you know, international flights and it's to Russia. Right. And so it's like, what I think would actually be really compelling would be to go smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the concept of 24 is really interesting in just the basic raw concept of it's a show that the entire season just takes place over the course of one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be much more interesting if they just said, okay, the main character isn't this ridiculous hero that's going to stop a terrorist attack. He's just a homicide detective, and it's 3 a.m., and he got woken up from a phone call that a homicide happened, and the whole season is just going to be him, you know, the day that he got woken up at 3 in the morning because there was a high-profile homicide.
Well,
that would be really interesting.
And that would make sense because there also
and they could
is...
still call that 24.
Because there also is a show that's like the first 48, where it's like, you know, for a kidnapping or a homicide, it's like the first 48 hours. And so, like, that would make sense to follow somebody during that time, too.
Yeah.
Where
so
it
like,
wouldn't be like,
I don't know.
It wouldn't be boring to me because that is, they say that is like the most critical time in a case like that. So that wouldn't be boring. It would make sense for something to be a very action packed 24 hours because you're trying, you know that that's extremely important to the case.
The other concept that I always had for like a spinoff of 24 would have been a show just called CTU. There's multiple like just crime, you know, CSI, NCIS, just multiple different shows that are just about a particular crime organization. And they just solve, you know, each episode it's a new problem to solve or whatever. And so I always thought, well, they could have easily done a spinoff just called CTU.
Well, and also they could have then had multiple spinoffs because CTU has branches all over the country.
Right, exactly. So like universe. I always just thought it was kind of a wasted opportunity on their part, honestly, if they were trying to make money, because they could have had the shows coexist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could have had, like, just take, you know, like, my thought was always Chloe. She was the, like, take Chloe from 24 and make her sort of the, one of the main characters on CTU. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I just, so there's, I've.
So, okay, so of those two shows, Prison Break and 24 reboots, which one are you more interested in?
I'll watch both.
I would.
I'm more interested in 24.
Because, but are you more based optimistic about Prison Break? No.
I'm not optimistic about Prison Break. So, spoiler alert for Prison Break.
We said 2 years main was the statute, character, correct?
Dies at the end of Prison Break. Like, he dies. He gets blown up. And, like, it's very clear that, like, he's dead. They have a funeral for him. Mm-hmm. And so this is supposed to take place 10 years later, yet the main character is alive.
So they're probably just going to say he, like, it was a fake. Right. Of
you know. I understand that, but, like, once again, it's just the same type of thing to me of, like, it was a similar thing to, like, the ending of Gilmore Girls originally. Like, they found out it was getting canceled. They just had to figure out a way to wrap up the series that it sort of made sense why it was done. Mm-hmm. And now 10 years later, they're like, well, we want to do a reboot. And it's like, yeah, but you killed off your main character.
Yeah, at least in Gilmore Girls, they didn't. Even, like, Amy Sherman-Palladino has said, like, from my understanding of the seventh season that I wasn't a part of, you know, creating, that they didn't do anything that, like, really steps on my creative toes as far as what I wanted it to be.
I'm more excited for 24, and I'm probably more optimistic for 24. Yeah. I think, because I think that the concept of 24 is a really original concept, and obviously they've had 9 seasons of it, so I mean, it's not necessarily super original anymore, but there's still no show like it. Mm-hmm. If they just boil it down to the bare raw concept of events taking place over the course of 24 hours.
Yeah. I did used to watch it, like, with my roommates before I even had met Dale.
Well, because it started in 2002. Mm-hmm. Well, it started right after 9/11.
Yeah, so, it was probably
right after.
So I had found, like, a list of some reboots that were going to be happening, and I was thinking about, like, kind of going through the list, whether or not you think it, like, would you green light it, or, like,
we're just gonna do a rapid fire.
Yeah,
right?
For okay sure.
So we'll just, we'll do a round table. Yes, no, yay,
so
nay. Let's see.
So the first one was 24.
Yay.
I'd say.
Oh, I'm interested in watching
it. I'm hesitant with there being no Jack Bauer, but I'll green light it.
Amazing Stories. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Dale had. It sounds kind of like The Outer Limits or, I don't know. Anyways.
The Twilight Zone?
Yeah, but not Twilight Zone where it's, like, scripted. Mm. It's like. Supposed to be real things. The A-Team.
So
a TV series. And with both male and female team members.
I would be interested only if they could figure out a way to tie it into the movie.
Because the movie I never saw the movie.
But there's no way. I mean, it's Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper.
Right.
A UFC guy, like some UFC
Jessica
fighter.
Biel, she's not going to make a return to TV.
So, like, that would actually intrigue me because I actually really like
I actually enjoyed the movie.
I would have watched a sequel to that movie. Yeah. It was good.
I would say nay to A-Team.
Okay. I wouldn't have much.
Bewitched.
No.
Yeah, no.
Zero interest.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
No. I didn't like it when I was a kid.
It's gonna be like on MTV too. I would be open to Celebrity Deathmatch.
I didn't like it when I was a kid. And
maybe not claymation.
Sometimes it would make me laugh.
Maybe like updated, like a different style of animation. It would maybe interest.
I didn't really like cartoons when I was a kid. I don't know. No, I didn't know.
It occasionally made me laugh when I was younger, but not that much. But I'm up for it. Okay, Cruel Intentions.
No, and I've heard about this.
No, that is reboot.
Yeah, well, that's a real thing.
It's not a reboot.
No, it's an extension.
Yeah, because it is starring Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, no.
And then
she's playing the same character.
The kid of
Ryan Phillippe.
The characters of Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon. Damien.
He got her pregnant?
Which is like...
Because Ryan Phillippe dies in Cruel Intentions, yeah, doesn't he?
He dies at the end.
So Damien is supposed to be like from The Omen, the movie The Omen.
Oh.
Where he's grown... follow Damien as an adult while he comes to grips with being the Antichrist.
No. Oh, nope.
Zero interest.
Dirty Dancing, a three-hour made-for-TV remake of the 1987 Jennifer Grey Patrick Swayze film.
Well, they've already made Dirty Dancing.
Abigail Breslin will star as Baby with some dancer I haven't heard of.
No. Okay, well, I'll probably watch it, but no. Yeah. It's not going to be good. Interest. It's going to be really...
DuckTales.
I don't like cartoons.
Live action?
I'm going to say no, because I don't really
But also,
like...
it's like, we have one season on DVD.
Would say yeah.
And I like my kids watching
cartoons
it.
Cartoons to me are fun to read.
Yeah, I'm just skipping the cartoon ones mostly.
They're okay, but like,
I'd be fine with DuckTales.
I watched like a new Strawberry Shortcake, though, and it's not the same. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. DuckTales, okay. It's fine for me with that, because it's always intended for kids, and then you're just using characters that, like, remaking a new thing for kids today. Like, I mean, the same with, like, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Right.
Like, 20 years ago, there wasn't Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. They're just using all those characters that have been around for 50 years, 80 years, whatever. Anyway. I'd be down for DuckTales.
Anyway.
The Exorcist, an hour-long modern reinvention of the classic.
Nope.
No.
I'm like, why redo it?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's
I do like but this that, is, but I'm like, why remake it?
But that's how I feel about a lot of revivals.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Why
do The Expendables. I'm like, that is...
Seriously?
Like, just bringing it to TV. Yeah.
No.
Featuring iconic TV stars.
I would actually be down for that.
Wait, iconic TV stars such as...
It doesn't say.
I can be down for
In development.
We'll see. Oh, Fox.
Oh, it's in development. I can be down
Kiefer for
Kiefer
could be on it.
I was going to say, maybe Jeff Bauer will come back. No, see, I've always thought it would be amazing for them to do an actual, like, Expendables-type movie, but with... famous characters. So, like, what if you had a movie where it was like, it wasn't just Bruce Willis, it was him playing John McClane.
Right.
And it wasn't just Sylvester Stallone, it was him playing Rambo.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Like,
and MacGyver.
Right. Like, that would be epic if they could somehow figure that out.
Fantasy Island. I never saw this.
No,
I
didn't.
And it's just, it's another one that's just like, why?
A bunch of these. Fatal Attraction, First Wives Club. These are all going in. The Flamingo Kid, all in the Y. Frequency.
Oh, that was the movie?
Yes.
A
reimagining of the 2000 sci-fi film, this time centering on a female police detective who discovers she is able to speak via ham radio with her estranged father, who died 20 years prior and was also a detective.
I will watch it.
Jim Caviezel and Dennis Quaid. That was a good movie.
That was a really good movie.
I don't think it'll make a great TV show.
Pilot ordered at the CW.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, here's one.
Now, don't get me wrong. I watch three CW shows.
You do.
I record them.
Regularly.
But they're all superhero shows. Yeah.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. A present-day family comedy that puts a new spin on the fish-out-of-water tale while maintaining the spirit of the original series.
No, not going
to
watch it.
Currently being shopped to networks, former Fresh Prince Will Smith will executive produce the reboot.
Okay, what would interest me if Will Smith was the uncle?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Because
he's still like...
But he doesn't have any siblings, though.
Cool. And then his, like, uptight...
Maybe he just had nephew. Carlton.
Yeah, Carlton. Yes, yeah. Carlton's son, has to go live with Will. Like,
yeah.
That would... Okay, I would watch that. But if
that's not going to happen, though.
All right.
Galaxy Quest.
The Tim Allen movie?
R.I.P. Alan Rickman.
Yeah, no, can't. Well, I was going to say they can't do... I don't want to do Fresh Prince because of James Avery.
Hmm.
That was what I was gonna say, and then we moved on, and then you, no Galaxy Quest,
no to Galaxy Quest.
I did a thumbs down and a fart noise.
The Greatest American Hero, again, one of those from the 80s. Heart to Heart. Okay, this one, though, actually interests me just because I love mysteries. I never watched Heart to Heart, so I don't really know what it was. But a remake of the 1979 mystery drama, this time with a gay couple at the forefront who must balance their love of crime solving with their love of one another.
Interesting. No, that, I mean...
Depends on the, like, mysteries.
It depends on the type of mystery.
Law and Order, which is funny. Like, when I was reading this list to Dale, I'm like...
That just ended.
It just ended. And SVU is still on.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Absolutely.
Right? Yes. So much yes, right?
Yes.
But only if it's just still the original set.
Right.
Like, nothing. It hasn't been updated at all.
Can we get Kurt Bogg back?
In development at Nickelodeon.
I'll watch it.
It's incredible.
The scripted revival.
What?
Will integrate game show staples like the Temple Guards, the Steps of Knowledge, and Olmec.
But what's scripted
revival? Like, they're making a TV
I'm confused. Show.
Oh, what if it was like
a behind the scenes?
No, what if they are just using like those character elements to make like a scripted series about like some teenage kids that have to like
escape,
get lost in the jungle or something.
Okay, we'll see. Lethal
Weapon
is another one.
It reminds me of Rush Hour, which they did. That is a TV series now. Like, just that, the mismatched buddy cop drama.
Yeah.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
No.
Hosted by Nick Cannon.
What? No.
That's just Cribs.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, that still exists. It's on MTV.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's
still Lion Guard. Return of the Roar.
That's already on.
I know. Yeah, some of these are already on or in development.
Okay.
My kids. God.
We tried watching it. Kate wasn't interested.
So.
No, it's no Mickey Mouse.
MacGyver. Did you guys watch?
I did watch MacGyver.
It's a little bit too early for you guys.
Well,
I'd be interested to see what they're going to do with it.
Nothing's too early because it's all on. Yeah.
Right. Magic School Bus.
Yes.
Okay, this one just seems so dumb to me. Marley and Me.
A TV series about a family whose dog died.
You like, know the how dog do you stretch dies? That out into a series?
No,
it's just the terrible well, dog also, in this series.
Yeah, I was gonna
finale,
say. So the whole series
dies.
Is gonna be like each episode, the dog just being a jerk the whole time. It's like, why wouldn't you get rid of this dog?
But then he does nice things, like, you know, sniffs out somebody's cancer or something. And...
Okay, here's a good one: Married with Children. A spin-off to the Mothership series focusing on David Faustino's Bud.
Yeah.
So Bud is the dad.
I could see that.
That show was just the weirdest. I hated it. It was really bizarre. And I still see it and I'm just really freaked out by it. It just makes me feel weird to watch it.
It's weird that it's still in syndication. I don't know who's watching that.
Mystery Science Theater 3000. Dale was really excited about that.
That's just not the type. I mean, for me, that's just not the type of show I would watch.
I felt those type of shows make sense.
Yeah, when there's like a reboot.
Yes, that's the thing. They do make sense though for a reboot.
It would
I'm
take
just not
nothing
gonna watch it.
Really to reboot
right.
it.
Right.
But also, I was like, what I would like to see is that it be, how did this get made?
Yes.
You know, like that they take that podcast into like a. More like script, you know,
right.
pre-written the jokes.
Yeah.
TV, you know, like have it be like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but the three of them sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Making their, although, I don't know, some of that podcast is the discussions. All right. I think that's pretty much it. There's still some other ones here from movies that are just not worth mentioning. I don't know that
TV adaptations of movies are very good, but I have several friends who think that Parenthood is the greatest show that ever existed, so
I
watch Limitless. That's a direct continuation of the movie Limitless, which I mean it's not bad. And I actually realized every single show that I actually watch, none of them are original concepts. I watch Limitless, which is a direct continuation of the movie Limitless. And then I watch
Better Call Saul,
which is a spin-off. I watch The Walking Dead, Arrow, The Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow, which are all comic book shows. So I watched six shows, and they're all unoriginal content.
I watch some reality shows, which I won't get into, but I watch Grey's Anatomy still, which original. I don't even watch many new shows. Well, I watched Downton Abbey, which just ended. I watch Girls on HBO, that's original. Veep on HBO, also original. I'm just trying to think of the shows that I keep up with. And then I have the ones that I rewatch over and over again, which are 30 Rock, Golden Girls, Gilmore Girls, all original.
Yeah. I think that we should end with I'm going to pose a question.
Yeah, definitely.
To end our time with Paula, because we've had her here for like 3 hours. We probably need to get her back to her cool family. With it. The question I'm going to leave us with is, what one show would you want to see either rebooted or revived?
Or a spinoff?
Yes, something. Some sort of continuation. What one show would you like desire that for?
And it can be based on any criteria, just anything. The nostalgia factor, the love of the show, or it could be that you just feel like it didn't get...
We're going to answer, and then this is going to... We're going to pose this question.
You can feel like it didn't get the proper ending, so you want to just see
how... I know
how
mine.
Yeah, I know Kenny's too.
Right away.
I know Kenny's too, so right away. So I'll have to think about that, because the one that, I mean, really gets me is Gilmore Girls, and they're already reviving
it. Yeah, a lot of the ones that I would pick... RDR.
So I'll have to rack my brain on this one.
I think that could be, that would be okay if that was what your answer is. I'll give my answer right now and give you ladies a moment to think about it. So mine would definitely be Awake. It was a completely original concept when it came out. It was like way too smart for network television. It just didn't get the ratings that it needed to be able to be on network television, where I think if they had released it on like cable TV, it would have still been going. And it was just such a cool show.
We watched that.
The ending of it works okay as a series finale. It only made it for one season. It was only 13 episodes. And the way that it ended, it works okay as a series finale, but... it was not the intended series finale, and the show creator had, like, they had a very specific map for season two. And so I just thought season one was so compelling to me. It was really interesting. It was, you know, in a lot of ways, it was your standard procedural cop drama. But then the serial elements of it, to me, were, like, just so original and just a concept that I've never seen anywhere else that... It definitely, when I watch some of the shows that are on TV now, it definitely brings me back to the question of just, like, what does it say about our culture that, like, some of the shows that have been on for years and years and years, and it's just, like, the same thing over and over, and there's five of the same show.
Okay. Specifically that, yeah, like all the CSIs or the NCIS or whatever, but then also...
Charlie Sheen show.
Two and a Half Men.
That was the most popular TV show.
And it was never funny.
And it was terrible.
It was so not funny. I tried watching it.
And the same thing.
And that's how I feel about Two Broke Girls also. Yeah. That is like supposed to, like, it's been on for several seasons now. And like, it's just not funny. Like everything that you see in the commercials, like this week on Two Broke Girls, like, the episodes that I've seen, it's just all that same stuff, those same types of jokes over and over again, and it's not funny. Anyway, I have my answer. Do you have yours?
Well, I have a few. Is that okay that I say more than one?
Absolutely.
As I'm thinking, a
please
few things...
Please don't pick mine. If you say one of
them... Why don't you go first?
Okay, because I only have one.
Okay.
I would have to say Better Off Ted. It only ran for 2 seasons... it was on a few years ago.
Yeah, we didn't watch it when it was on live. Like, we didn't watch it when it was running.
When it was
running. Just found it
and
on Netflix.
Yeah, we found it. Well, and a coworker of mine had recommended it, and then I didn't really think anything of it. And then, yeah, like, we were searching through Netflix for something to watch, and I said, oh, Better Off Ted. I know Kenny doesn't really like sitcoms, and we didn't know anything about it, so it was actually kind of I think it was like, we'll watch the pilot. But yeah, it's really dark humor. The tone was just totally different than like anything else that you see.
Well, right.
Which is probably why it didn't last.
Well, but yeah, referring back to like the Two Broke Girls thing, it's just like, it's just hard to understand. That show was just so much better. Like, it actually had like, it was just good like acting. Like, it was a sitcom, the right people, but it actually has good acting in
getting
it.
Behind it in time is right. The problem, you know? And
but yeah, now we can, but now we're traction. we're in the age of revivals and reboots and spinoffs. And so spinoffs has always been a thing, but like revivals and reboots. And I don't know, like anything can happen. I
feel like there have been enough TV shows that have died and then people get really into them that they should realize, like, maybe we just give it.
Well, I think that's what's being looked at right now is like, are we pulling the plug prematurely? Because
the answer is yes.
Because revamping the whole Nielsen ratings because of that. Like, is that what we need to be looking at? Because so many people are like saying, I love this show, or they're coming back to it within 5 years, they're coming back to it and seeing like, this is a great show. Right. If only it had gone on for another, season or two.
Well, and people just consume TV so differently now.
Right.
Like, I mean, I listen to Colin Cowherd's podcast every day. I mean, it's just his radio show, but then they release it as a podcast. And he was talking about how, nowadays, if a show doesn't get its ratings like two episodes in, if it's not hitting the ratings as expected to hit, they'll move it to a dead time slot and just can't, like, basically it's like, well, okay, you've already made the season, so you can air the rest of the season, but it's done. Yeah. Like, if it's not like two, like Seinfeld, it took like two seasons to actually be good and actually be like relevant and have good ratings. But they like, just the nature of TV at that time, there weren't hundreds and hundreds of pilots being made all the time.
Well, there were people watching things with such an analytical eye. Now you have social media reviews that are coming out,
live tweeting
or podcasts that are reviewing episodes, right after they air, and people viewing things in such an analytical way instead of just viewing it for entertainment. So yeah, it is just a different,
which I think it's good to, analyze, but it's like, I don't understand with all the analytics going on,
right,
that Two Broke Girls has been on for,
it's been like five or six seasons. Yeah.
And then you have shows, that are like
Better Off Ted.
Yeah. Like a much better sitcom.
Yeah.
And it just, and I think a lot of it sometimes is the network it gets picked up on.
Yeah.
Like the time slot. What else is on other networks? There's so much that goes into it that it's like,
even just the advertising that they do for it, it seems like certain, like CBS, for example, it seems like they highly advertise certain, it seems like the Two Broke Girls show, that it's almost like they decided this is going to be our next.
Right.
Which is true. Which is funny because it, like, so I'm looking up Two Broke Girls and I just want to see how long it was on. And Whitney Cummings is a writer on it, and she had a failed sitcom on NBC. And so, like, I don't know. It's just interesting to me.
Now, oddly enough, Portia de Rossi has been mentioned
two shows.
Better Off Ted and
Arrested Development.
So maybe
she's a convert.
She's either the kiss of death, or maybe she can convince Netflix to bring back Better Off Ted.
Better Off Ted.
She already has a working relationship established.
Yeah.
So, now to me, like, this, it has kind of like dredged up some shows in my mind. Yeah. I don't know why exactly you mentioning Better Off Ted. I guess it's just kind of like offbeat from
The offbeat dark humor.
Yeah, was Pushing Daisies.
That was one I've heard a lot of good things. Haven't watched it yet.
It's different.
Well, yeah,
but yeah. I liked it.
I know the partially 'cause it general was concept, but I haven't watched it.
And then I also thought, but this is one that it's like, I don't. This would be one of those that I'd be like, be careful what you wish for. It's more like, I just wished for more of it at the time, or like even when I watch it now, but there's no way you could make it again. It's Freaks and Geeks.
Right. I wouldn't want to see, that's the thing. I wouldn't
want them to like bring them all back together ages they are now. Except if they did, they would have to be doing it where they were then in like the late 90s when it originally aired.
Yeah, yeah, what was been the,
as much time.
Well, what was that? Netflix did this. There was a
Oh yeah, movie. Wet Hot American yeah. Summer, yeah. which was like awesome.
A movie or a TV series, and yeah. they brought back the original cast, and they were actually playing younger versions right. of
Yeah, the
them,
beginning so. Of the summer. Yeah.
yeah, even though
But that's because like, the original movie was like so, like, just
I've never balls seen out any comedy. Of it. I've never seen any of it, but that would be actually really funny. Yeah. Like if they did something like that.
It would have like to be something
that,
like that.
Where they just decided.
Yeah, I don't want.
It's just
it,
like the
but
bigger following.
But I would totally want a time goofy. Machine to go back and totally just goofy. Have them make a, you know, 3 or 4 seasons of Freaks and
Yeah,
Geeks.
They could like, do like high school reunion where they like all came back to their city or whatever and like got together and it could be yeah. like. An hour
that
and
one
and
is
half
just
long
so yeah it has been so long but that one's rough because also it, yeah that's one of those that just didn't
I wonder
end.
If you'd like, also be better if it was a like you might have a better chance of a movie
yeah
like a Freaks and Geeks like 20 year like because it's almost
yeah,
like
yeah so like
20,
what I'm
like
saying
maybe
is
a 20 year high school reunion or something
what I'm saying is
well but then
it was set,
graduated though
it was set in 1980
yeah
and I think that the older students were like sophomores or juniors
they were juniors
yeah Oh yeah, and then the younger ones were freshmen. But I don't know there could be some sort of event that they like all come back for or something like
Somebody's
that. Whatever, yeah, I guess that would be weird. But it's like if you did it, that it would be set. The time setting would have to be not current,
right?
Right,
because yeah. they wouldn't be old enough.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Oh,
set
it could be
current.
It could be their 20-year reunion in the year 2000.
Yeah,
or I guess, but it wouldn't. It would be like 2002 would be.
But that would be kind of funny.
That like, would be, I that think, would be funny.
Or they like all come back for like Y2K or yes. something right. like that. I don't
yeah.
know, you know, like
something
whatever.
Really, something yeah. as offbeat, but, it was kind of an off, not yeah. as offbeat, but it was a little, it was just a different show. That's me, it's why it wasn't successful.
I feel like if Seth Rogen wanted to just like throw his money behind it
right.
and make that happen.
Well, I mean,
James Franco could make it happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
the
they
two
all
of them together.
Make those movies, like they make just movies, whatever they want to make. I mean,
right.
James Franco and Seth Rogen do...
Well,
that
whatever
group of
they
people
do.
Just
well, and,
make movies.
John Francis Daly and Linda Cardellini were both in really successful
TV shows
and, after that.
And
Busy Phillips
yeah.
was too. Her, she was in another sitcom where they were in. Or she was in Dawson's Creek. So yeah, they were all in
but
dramas.
Then she was also in ER at the end too.
Busy Phillips was?
Yep.
Who was she in ER?
I don't know. I just know that she was
really?
In ER at the end.
She
yeah.
was in ER too?
Yeah. Pretty sure. Pretty sure.
Because Linda Cardellini was in it for years.
I think
a movie freaks... Like, it'd be hard to do another TV series just
and then,
with how big all of those actors are
Linda
now.
Cardellini was also just in a Netflix original. That one about, like, the family. Anyways. But the one that I actually think they could reboot with new cast, but, like, this, you know, similar kind of plot line is Alias.
Okay.
And I would like
I
that.
Love Alias. That was one
I've
so
never,
oh, it's
That was Joss Whedon?
No, it was J.J.
Abrams.
Abrams. Yeah. yeah, so no, Alias is J.J. Abrams and it was amazing. I mean, it was
It's funny, I tried to watch it now though,
and
it's
it doesn't
like,
hold up.
No.
It's
bothersome the technology.
Yes. It's yeah, it's and but see but 24 I watched it after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched it after it had already ended.
I think if I started watching it with Dale, I told yeah. Dale, like, I think that he could get into Alias if we got
I think you could get into Alias,
24
too.
Is not, like, secret agency.
I guess it's true.
It's, like, government agency. So it's, mm-hmm. like, it's still pretty basic
stuff. We all know
stuff, like,
the government.
Well, no, but
behind.
It's just like, oh, yeah, look at satellites and, like, call me on my cell phone. Like, those
right.
are still things that, like...
Send this to my PDA.
Right. There's not a huge...
I don't know. Just still seeing someone in the, like... late 90s, early 2000s or whatever with like a Nokia phone
mm-hmm.
right.
or whatever
yeah, it's
or something
true.
With a like antenna on it is
well,
just like
I,
what?
Alias but also Alias is one of those shows that from season 1 to the to final season so much changes. It actually is kind of hard to go back and watch the beginning because it's like 24 where it's like everybody's dead, you know, like or even like the character that you're mm-hmm. seeing is not the same character at the end. And it's not one... The evolution of the character makes sense.
Yeah.
But it is kind of... It's like you almost don't want to see that anymore mm-hmm. after you've seen where she ends up.
Yeah.
Or even like the... Because she... You know, it's secret agents and spies. And so like the... the relationships between her father and other, I don't know. It's,
yeah.
Alias was so good, though.
It's so good. Although it would be difficult to reboot it, though, because of some of the twists that happened throughout the series. Like,
now, how could you?
You'd have to come up with different twists.
It would have to be in writers. I think it would have to be
writers. You got it.
Yeah.
Now, would you prefer?
That's why they get the big bucks.
Now, do you prefer like true reboots where it's like, it's just basically the same type of story, the same title, but there's no returning characters? Or there might actually be the same characters, but they're just different actors.
It would be good.
So, or do you prefer like if they just chose?
Like, I don't want it to be Sydney Bristow. There could be like one or two people that
like that were
show up at least.
So what it could be like, is that Sydney is working in more of an administrative role,
is like the team lead.
Yeah.
Those are actually my preferred reboots.
But I don't think Jennifer Garner's going to come
Well, I mean, it's
but
not like
she... pick somebody... Well, I mean,
she's in some weird movie, and she's not making great movies.
But I wouldn't want somebody else coming in having the name Sydney Bristow and not being Jennifer Garner.
Right. So, and like, I don't like those reboots where it's just like... It's just literally the same movie or the same TV series, the same characters.
Right, I think that Bradley Cooper would probably come back.
He's in Limitless. I mean, he makes a couple appearances in Limitless.
Because he was in the movie, and he's the executive producer of Limitless. And
I think he's probably been in like four episodes.
Yes.
He would come back.
Yeah. And I think that those are the most effective reboots, like where it's...
Marshall?
Okay,
yeah, he was in an episode just, of Better Call Saul.
It's an actual continuation of... The original series, the events of the original series actually took place, and then there's just one or two people that are sort of bridging the gap.
Yes.
Like, oh, I recognize that person from the original series, and now they have some sort of role in this new series, but the rest of it is all new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the...
All right,
yeah.
J.J. Abrams, you're not doing the rest of the Star Wars. You can get on the Alias reboot.
I'm going to go on record and say that I wouldn't mind a Cheers reboot either.
Okay, but
new owners of the bar.
Okay.
Okay, wait, no. Oh, this is what came to me before.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a spinoff series from New Girl. So Jake Johnson, right, Nick, his bar, you know, but then like have it center around the characters that, you know, like
so they still the come in and out.
Yeah, so like the new girl.
I mean,
but you're only in the bar.
No, this is my vote. Ted Danson is on CSI.
He's done
Cyber.
Isn't he done?
No,
that?
Well, no, he was on the original CSI, and then he transferred over to CSI Cyber.
Mm-hmm.
But that is supposed to be like it's most likely going to get canceled, so he's going to be out of work.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think if you're going for a Cheers reboot, just bring back Ted.
I love Ted Danson. I love. Ted Danson.
Or at least bring him on for the pilot to, like, he is just selling the bar.
Yeah. Right.
Like, if you could do that.
Woody Harrelson back? Do you think you could get Woody Harrelson back?
I probably could.
You could, Paula.
Woody's not coming back.
You guys, I love Cheers so much.
Woody Harrelson is a different person than
yeah.
He does not play that kind of character
he's
anymore.
He's not a ladies' man anymore, like...
Oh my gosh, you guys. I think I'm gonna start watching Cheers again.
Yeah, you should. Could we argue that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is like a modern day Cheers?
You can make that argument.
We stopped watching. Well, they like had time.
Well, no, we just caught up.
Well, then they haven't... Did they cancel it? Or
no,
like,
it's still on. They just have... They have like 10 episode seasons.
I know, but honey, we haven't watched it since Kate was born.
I know. We just haven't like... done it.
Oh, like, so there is another season?
A season or two.
Oh.
We just caught up. Like, we didn't start watching until there was like 8 seasons out, so we just binged the whole thing and then caught up.
Well, this is... We're like moving out of revival talk and...
It's true.
Into TV reviews.
Paula, we loved having you on the podcast.
Yes.
I enjoyed being here.
Thank you so much for coming over, making the trek to our studio. Paula lives like 5 minutes from us, guys.
It's true. But we loved having you on. We'll have to do it again in the future.
Okay. Or maybe have Dale over. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll
be so curious to hear how he would chew it with you.
That'd be great.
I hope you feel like you are a little more Paula, shot Paula.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I ain't no Paula Batgirl. Some pretty good conversation.
It was just really exciting. It's my favorite thing to talk about other than Harry Potter and my kids.
You do love television, for sure.
I love it so much.
Paula, it was great having you on. We'll definitely have to do it again.
For sure.
Since we're already at an hour, we're just going to jump right into the answer for last episode's heebie-jeebie clue. The clue was Superior Telegram.
Yes, and we have a new heebie-jeebie champion this week.
Hey, this is Dina Pruitt, a.k.a. Mama Pruitt or Grandma Pruitt, depending on who's talking to me. And I am calling because I want to answer the heebie-jeebie from episode 12. The clue was Superior Telegram, and I'm pretty sure that the answer to that is Better Letter. So, yes, I'm a big heebie-jeebie fan. I really enjoyed episode 12, enjoyed Paula and hearing all about everybody's weight loss journey and their fitness, and we all struggle with that and trying to figure out how to fit it into our daily routine and have successes and setbacks, and I could relate to a lot of the things you were talking about, and then the budgeting, really great hints and tips, and I appreciated all that. That was really fun. I also wanted to add in a couple of heebie-jeebies of my own. I was listening on the way to work today, and on my way, I was coming across some things that were triggering things. So here's a couple of my commute heebie-jeebies, okay? The first clue is Bambi behind. Bambi behind. And my second clue is Rocky Road Trip. Again, Rocky Road Trip. All right. Well, thanks to it with the Pruitts. See you guys. Bye-bye.
So for the second time, Kevin was not the first person to answer the heebie-jeebie clue correctly. Now, he did not know that, being that my mom left us a voicemail versus doing it on Facebook. So Kevin was, I guess, our Facebook winner.
Yeah, but we still prefer voicemails over every other communication.
And the voicemail was left before the comment was made. So it wasn't even just that we prefer the voicemail. It was truly the first answer.
It really was. So yeah, that was the answer. Better Letter. Congrats, Mama Pruitt. And so her heebie-jeebies that she left us, I believe the first one, I'm going to take the first one because I think it's easier.
Okay. And the clue is Bambi behind.
Yeah, and I believe that is Deer Rear.
I'm pretty sure that's probably right. That's what came to mind for me.
And the second one was Rocky Road Trip. Rocky Road Trip?
Rocky Road Trip. That's like a before and after.
Yeah.
I think it was Rocky Road Trip.
Not Rocky Road Trip?
No. But the answer to this heebie-jeebie is Gravel Travel.
Oh. See, that's why I gave that one to you. I would not have gotten that.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Mother, I'm assuming you'll have that to let us you were know. Driving down your driveway when the voicemail was left.
Yeah, your mile-long driveway. So, yeah, let us know if we're right on those. I'm pretty confident in our answers.
I at least feel good about mine.
Yeah, for sure. Before we give the heebie-jeebie clue for this episode, let's revisit our question from episode 12, what is your go-to method for getting over a cold?
We have the expert advice of Mama Pruitt.
who is a nurse.
Yes, she's been a registered nurse for much of my life.
Who really just told us not to get sick, which is pretty much my advice too. But the advice that she gave was to avoid the cold, use hand sanitizer, because once you get sick, the only real remedy is time. Now, luckily, this cold actually was a pretty quick one.
It was, yeah. I'm uncertain if it was a true cold or maybe just with changing from wet to dry weather. Maybe I was having a little bit of allergies.
Well, we all got kind of sick, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the tried and true method of Mr. Kevin's aid.
Yeah, so his recommendation is water, beer, 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 sleep. And I believe the answer to the heebie-jeebie clue is better letter. You are correct, Kevin.
Kevin also gave us some great information to correct something that we said in episode 12. We were discussing The Rock, Dwayne Johnson for president.
Yep.
In 2020. And we were talking about some of his movies, and we were struggling to come up with the name of the movie that he was in with Sean William Scott, and we incorrectly said that it was Walking Tall.
That was actually the movie that he was in with Johnny Knoxville.
Which you did mention. Wasn't he in a movie with Johnny Knoxville?
Yeah.
The movie with Sean William Scott was The Rundown.
Which ties in very nicely to the Zaid Story podcast.
I paused because I was hearing the echo in my head.
The Rundown. Well, we're going to let you get out of this episode here with this week's clue.
This week's clue is Diamond Circle.
That is Diamond Circle. Hit us up. You know all the ways. 507-407-CHEW. Get a hold of us. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks, guys.